Ace Podcast.
10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
Hey everybody, this is Aaron. Craig's not here right now because we're taking a break this week, but we're going to reach into the vault and pull out some previously recorded stories that we've done that just haven't made it onto the podcast, usually because of time. So enjoy these stories, and we will be back next time with a brand new episode. See you then.
What they need to know,
what
is, I've been wanting to read the story because you gave me the story, but I was not allowed to read it.
Well, let me pull the curtain back for a second, because a lot of times the week of the show, if I've come across something that really makes me laugh, I'll send you the headline so you know what's coming up,
right?
Kind of fire you up for the show. But I accidentally sent you the link to this story instead of just the headline, so I had to immediately respond, "Do not read," because I wanted to.
I did not read it.
Right, I want to.
But the headline's killing me.
I want to get you your actual. You know.
Okay. Before we go?
Yeah.
I mean, before we start?
Yeah.
Cue it.
Okay. Okay.
How a fart killed 10,000 people.
What did this person eat?
I don't know, but I feel like I got to read it in an old newsreel type voice.
Do it.
Farting, breaking wind, cutting cheese, or gas. The English language has numerous words for flatulence, and this is even before we devolve into the subcategories that make up the genre. Whatever you call it, farting is taboo act.
Yes.
It is also a source of fascination. It's
certainly
not for nothing that there's a popular children's book series called Fart Squad, or that the preview of the most recent installment of the Alvin and the Chipmunks dynasty led with the punchline, "Sorry, pizza toots." Today, farting is something in which we beg forgiveness, but in the past it has been subject of legislation,
really,
the cause of wars, and
what?
Even theologized.
Theologized.
I like to say theologized. We might think of farts trapped as trapped gas, but the history of farting is just more than hot air.
Really, what is the history?
I'm gonna keep going here, but I can't keep doing the voice.
That's fine. Yeah.
Somewhat counterintuitively, farting has a spiritual side.
Only if you do it like when you're meditating or something.
What is it? Maniacism? Maniacism? A dualistic religion popular in the late antiquity. That this guy writes too smart for me.
I'm telling you, it's a smart written article.
Okay, so it's a religion popular in the late antiquity that at one time counted Saint Augustine among its members, actually held that farts were the act of freeing divine light, quote unquote.
I would not
from
call
the
it
body.
That. It's freeing something, all right. Hmm. I think it comes from the other side.
Yeah.
Manishism.
Manishism may have been, as scholar Robin Lane Fox has noted, the only world religion to have believed in the redemptive power of farts.
Huh.
But they weren't. I still want to read in this voice.
Don't.
But they weren't the only ancient group to give the phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
A great deal of thought in addition to laying the foundations of trigonometry? What?
Yeah.
The philosopher Pythagoras.
He has a math thing named after him.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. I know.
Yeah.
Math is, it's not called philosopher.
No, it's not a philosopher.
Okay. Let's just try to get through this.
Go.
He was concerned that a person might fart out his soul. I've known a couple people.
Yeah, I've felt that way before. Yeah.
As classicist Andrew Fenton wryly observed, this can explain why they steered clear of beans.
Yes, you don't want to break wind and accidentally shoot your soul out.
See, you can't talk now either. This is like if a camera.
What if that happened?
If they believe that when you took a picture, it stole your soul.
Yeah.
Was it a two-way street?
What if there was a chance that breaking wind, you could blow your soul out? Man, I would change my diet.
No, you wouldn't.
Probably not.
The ancient fear of farting is farting robotically is justified when we consider the surprising number of the stories, that is, more than none, about wars provoked by what was that? Now, he's not that. What did he just say?
More than none. That means that
wasn't it Roxy Music that taught us more than words?
Yes, it was Roxy Music.
Yes, I thought so.
More than none, though.
More than none. Sing it.
No, I'm not.
Okay, okay. According to Greek historian Herodias, no, Herodotus. See, okay, wait.
Herodotus.
A fart set off a chain of a, hey, yeah. Two middle-aged dudes in a microphone where we never promised intelligence.
There's some pretty big words
a
in this,
A fart
though.
Set off a chain of events that led to a revolt against King Apries of Egypt. The repercussions were even worse in first century Jerusalem. Uh-oh. The historian Josephus, I know his name, I can't say it,
yeah.
Josephus tells us that an irreverent Roman soldier lowered his pants, bent over, and spoke such words as you might expect upon such a posture.
I just had a vision of Ace Ventura. Yeah.
The incident took place shortly before the Passover and caused a riot that led to the deaths of 10,000 people.
So this guy grabbed his ankles.
If Josephus said it, it's true.
Yeah, yes, it is. And he grabbed his ankles and just blew the horn loudly, and everybody took offense because it was right before Passover.
Well, probably a good reason.
Yeah.
Wow. So this guy's one thing led to
war.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I say, wow.
Yowza.
For most Christians, farting has often held a more somber significance. St. Augustine offhandedly refers to people who could produce odorless musical sounds like singing from their behinds, but he seems to have been in the minority.
I guess so.
As Professor Valerie, they were like, his theories stink. As Professor Valerie Allen has noted in her book, the book is called this, On Farting, Language and Laughter in the Middle Ages.
I have got to read that book.
Most, I hear it's a real stinker.
Well, the author's a windbag, but.
This too must pass. Most medieval theologians saw farting as a product of decomposition. I would agree.
Yeah.
I've been around a few of those. And thus, as the mark of death. Interestingly, farting has been humorous for longer than it has been spiritualized.
Well, I could have told you that.
Arguably, the oldest joke in the world is a fart joke.
Oh, no.
A Sumerian proverb dated to about 1900 BCE reads, "Something which has never occurred since time immemorial, a young woman did not fart in her husband's lap."
What? Wait a minute. What's it? How's
dude,
that
dude,
a joke?
Dude, that's hysterical.
It's historical.
Oh.
I don't know about hysterical.
I see what you did. The same theme resurfaces in the writings of a Greek playwright, which I'm not going to even try, as well as Mark Twain and 1001 Nights. In many cases, fart jokes have been deemed too scandalous for public consumption.
Ooh, I don't like that.
I don't want to consume them either. Uh-uh. The stories that hinged on farting in 1001 Nights were expunged from all 19th century English translations.
Cut it out.
Except that of Richard Burton.
Yeah.
Mark Twain's Elizabethan period, 1601, was first published anonymously because of the farting. And in 2014, Columbia Pictures delayed the release of the film The Interview, allegedly because of its portrayal of the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il making a fart. Arguably, the most successful comedic purveyor of fart jokes, however, was Roland Le Sarcier, maybe?
Yeah.
Also known as Roland the Farter. I'm going to call him that. I like that better.
Yeah.
Court minstrel to King Henry II of England. Roland performed a dance that ended with the simultaneous execution of one jump, one whistle, and one fart for his talents.
That guy's got skills.
For his talents, Roland was gifted a manor house in Suffolk.
Wow.
And 100 acres of land. Just for that?
Yes.
I am such a
loser. They were hard up for talent. They didn't have two middle-aged dudes back then.
Roland was so beloved that subsequent chroniclers repeated his story and expanded his biography, a process that inadvertently extended his lifespan to 120 years.
Good grief.
Roland was not the only man to fart for money.
I want that job.
Cha-ching.
Can you imagine the interview?
Cha-ching. In her book, Allen directs us to a medieval Japanese scroll that tells the story of a man named Fukutomi who performed fart dances for the aristocracy. The story is the stuff of legend, but as Linda Rodriguez has written, there were professional farters at work in Japan by the 1700s. We were just born in the wrong century.
Must have been.
In Paris, at the close of the 19th century, a baker's son by the name of Joseph Pujol was able to host his own 90-minute show at the Moulin Rouge, featuring renditions of Au Clair de Lune. I don't know how you pronounce that.
I think you did it.
Apparently, Sigmund Freud visited the show before going on to develop his theory.
No.
I wasn't going to say it.
I didn't read that far.
I wasn't going to say it.
Well, you did good.
Can we just go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heck yeah. Always family friendly.
Yeah, you don't realize how family friendly this is when you.
Sigmund Freud was wacky.
Yeah, what if he brought his mother to that play? Across space and time, farting has been the source of embarrassment, especially to those of elevated social status.
Not in high school, it wasn't. We used to. It was a contest in high school.
This isn't about you right now.
Okay.
But the perils of holding in one's farts were well known even before Dr. Oz told Oprah that people should break wind in public for health reasons.
I told you it lengthened your life.
In his biography of the Emperor Claudius, the Roman writer, somebody, said that Claudius intended to publish an...
edict.
An edict?
Yep.
Wasn't that Archie
Bunker's
wife?
No, that was Edith.
Oh, right. Edict.
Archie!
Archie! Let's read the story!
Allowing to all people.
To all people, the liberty of giving vent. I like that. Excuse me as I give some vent.
I'm not going to break wind anymore. I'm going to give vent.
At table, to any distinction occasioned by flatulence.
So you could even do it at the table and not be in trouble.
I guess so.
Upon hearing of
a person whose modesty when under restraint had nearly cost him his life. That dude over there didn't fart. He died. That's how they talk back then.
That dude.
Uh-huh. Strangely, though, as Elizabeth Lopato traced in her brief medical history of farting, this is their job. Okay?
I wonder if she called it a brief history of farting.
Can I go now?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, I feel like I want to just back up to Elizabeth Lopato again.
Well,
she traced in her brief medical history of farting
the
causes of excessive flatulence evaded medical science for millennia.
So they couldn't figure out what caused somebody to break wind constantly.
As late as 1975, M.D. Levitt.
Oh, that's old man Levitt's doctor.
Yeah, right. I see what you threw me on that one. As late as 1975, M.D. Levitt could remark, "There are no data available." I would say there's not data available.
That's but he's a doctor.
Yeah, he knows better.
Yeah.
That prove excessive flagellation is actually caused by the presence of excessive intestinal gas.
Well, what else would it be?
It was 1975 and they still didn't know this?
I could have told them that in 1975.
Yeah, I mean.
And I was barely alive.
Whatever. It was only when Levitt conducted an experiment pumping the gas argon into patients.
Oh.
Argon.
He was loading them up.
I wasn't reading that in the right. It was argon, right?
Don't load that gun.
Okay. I think it's argon's the name of the gas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so it was only when he started pumping argon, via their back end, that he noticed that people farted at the same rate they were filled with. Is this really happening right now? Am I really reading this? Basically, this doctor conducted an experiment where he pumped gas into people.
Yes.
And he noticed there wasn't a difference. Astonishing. It was astonishing, is what I said. Curiously, it was not until 1998, we're still getting closer to where we are now,
I swear.
That Levitt proposed a methodology, I'd say a methanology, for distinguishing between excess gas caused by swallowing too much air and flatulence that resulted from a process that took place in the gut.
Well, now they're thinking too much. You ask me.
Is this novella that we're reading almost over?
It is.
The difficulty regulating gas does have a silver lining.
Really?
According to Jim Dawson, author of Who Cut the Cheese?
I read that, by the way.
Don't tell people.
I actually did.
Adolf Hitler himself was a lifelong sufferer. So nobody else did but him.
Well, that wouldn't surprise
biographer,
me.
Biographer, yeah, because he was a turd.
Yeah.
Can I say that on a family-friendly podcast?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Biographer John Toland credits Hitler's flatulence to his vegetarianism.
That's true. So vegetarians will drop quick. I mean, have you ever been around somebody
drop their guts?
Yeah, they'll drop their guts. And I mean, bad. It's like constant. I used to work with a vegetarian.
Well, they said that he might have turned to that
as
a cure for his GI problems.
Yeah.
You don't work there anymore because of that?
Yes. You got to work in an office with somebody that, I mean,
I have to work on a podcast with somebody that.
As much as they breathe, it's like they're breathing twice.
Well, how dare them breathe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we just made that sound bad.
I know. Can we just push right through this?
Go ahead. Push it out.
I just need to push this one out.
Push it out.
Whatever the cause, by 1936, the Cramps had
the
grown...
The Cramps, I got all their albums.
Yeah, I thought you did. Had grown unbearable.
Way to go, Hitler.
Early in his treatment, Hitler ingested machine oil as a cure for gas. Man, just give me something. I don't care.
Give me that.
It'll lubricate my intestines.
Whatever that's in that bottle, I'll drink it.
You got any more? Nine. Oh. Go get some more.
I wonder if that's why he went insane.
But around the... You put that in something.
Yeah.
Not that anybody would know what that is.
Not yet.
Okay, where are we at here? He ingested machine oil as a cure for gas, but around this time, Berlin medic Theodor Morell prescribed Dr. Koester's anti-gas pills, a concoction. I know the word. I just can't get it out. It's a concoction that contained the poisons strychnine and atropine.
That'll stop you from farting, all right.
That'll stop a lot. At least after about 10 or 15 minutes of you being dead.
Look at this man I gave the pill to. He no longer farts.
So this guy had something he could have given Hitler and stopped everything. For
yes,
farts.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been the awesome cover, right?
Here, Hitler, do your German accent. Here, you take this pill. Are your papers in order?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay. Take this pill. Are your papers in order?
I don't do a German accent.
I don't either.
They sound very angry when
they
talk.
Very mad. And
have you ever known anybody from Germany?
Yes.
I've known a couple, and they were nice people. Well, one was nice.
Boy, they can make some sauerkraut.
They just sound, because they're sour all the time. They're
and
just like,
crowdy.
Yeah. Can I get through this?
Go ahead.
According to Dawson, by 1941, Hitler was ingesting up to 150 pills a week. What is he, Elvis? While not lethal, the side effects of these drugs include irritability, insomnia, and poor emotional health. A fact that came to light shortly before his death when another physician decided to read the ingredient list for the doctor's little black pills. Dr. Moreau was fired and, to many, seems lucky to have escaped with his life.
Yeah, I bet he didn't.
Listeners, please stick with me. We're in the last paragraph of this long story. Whatever their cultural impact, farts continue to languish, I bet,
at the bottom
of the socially acceptable hierarchy of bodily sounds. Burps might elicit some embarrassment, but hiccups tend to only amuse.
Yeah.
Disease-spreading sneezes can be adorable.
Achoo.
Yeah. And even coughs are acceptable if covered by a sleeve or a hand. He didn't say anything about covering a sneeze.
No.
But there has yet to be social rehabilitation for the lowly, fart, even though scientists claim that the average person passes gas 14 times a day.
They didn't interview me. I almost took your story.
Indiana town without a police department after every officer quits.
Now's the time to go to Indiana and practice your bank robbing.
Indiana. Indiana town without police department after everyone quits.
Every officer quit.
That's what I said.
That just is mind-boggling to me.
An entire Indiana town has no police officers after every single one walked off their job. They tried to drive off, but they made them put the cars back.
That's not your car anymore.
The officers blame the Bunker Hill Town Council for the situation. We've had several issues with the town board, and there are some activities there where I felt like they were serving their own agenda.
What would you like? Can I have some of my own agenda? Are you serving that?
That's right. That's what former Bunker Hill Town Marshal Michael Thomason. He served as the town marshal for 4 years until Monday night when he and four other officers handed over resignation letters to the council, telling them they have had enough.
Four? There were four officers on the police force? What is this, like a town of 10?
Mayberry. They would not communicate with us or the officers, and they kept scaling back.
So cutting the pay.
In their resignation letters, the officers accused council members of asking them to, quote-unquote, do illegal, unethical, and immoral things. They cited examples like asking police to run background checks on other town councilors to find their criminal history.
Conspiracy.
Yep. The officers also claimed they were threatened when they said no. Another issue they brought up in the letter was their safety. The officers said they were forced to share one set of body armor. That must have been hard to fit in together all at the same time.
Everybody move left.
Everybody
now.
Left.
On three.
Right. Left. putting their lives on the line while they were out making arrests and serving warrants. I do not want to send someone out there with a bad body armor, so I would take mine off and provide it to the other officers. I told them we have to provide this. There's an IC code that explains that and says that the town has to provide that body armor.
What's a town of four police officers doing with body armor? What's the, I mean... If there's only four police officers in the whole department, it can't be a high crime district.
Or why, if there's only four, why don't they all have body armor?
Well,
they only have to buy four.
Yeah, good point.
On top of that, Thomason says his resignation was personal. He was diagnosed with cancer last year, but when he was ready to go back to work in May, Thomason said they would only allow him to work part-time. He blames the town counselors and plans to file a lawsuit against them. They came at me and said...
They were doing basketball moves, and I was scared.
They came to me and said, it's costing the town way too much money because of my insurance, and they were taking you down to part-time.
That fella's got him a lawsuit right there.
Thomason said the other officers say they did not want to step down but felt they had to. For now, the town is relying on outside help as they search for new officers. I know they're scrambling and have contacted some other officers that do not want the position. I don't know what I said.
So this town in Indiana has...
I told them something, but then I just left.
Has a police force of four and only one...
No, had.
Right.
A police
now team. They got nothing, but there's probably no bank anymore.
And they got Walter Cronkite.
All right. Yeah. Obviously.
And that's the way it is.
Listen to this headline.
What?
You've heard it, you've heard and seen probably on 2020, 48 Hours, Dateline, shows about the Mexican mafia, right? How vicious it is and how
again.
Yeah.
Any other show with numbers in it you want to mention?
The First 48.
Okay. Third Watch.
Headline is, Mexico kidnapped victim's wife, your mother for my husband.
Whoa.
She fought back. Listen to this. Vigilantes in a Mexican village have seized the mother of a local gang leader and proposed swapping her for a kidnap victim taken on Monday.
Oh, man.
After seizing alleged collaborators of the gang, including the mother of the leader, El Tequilario, the locals have recorded video messages for the gang.
Tequilario.
No, thanks.
I don't drink.
In return for my husband's life, I will deliver your mother. This is impressive. This kind of story fires me up. Police,
but I tell you what, after that exchange, you better watch your back.
Police have been sent
you
to the
mess with their mama.
We have your mother
here.
You
mess with their madre.
Hey, S.A., we have your mother here. Mr.
He doesn't say S.A.
Mr. known as El Tequilario. Tequilario says Yadira Gularamaro Garcia.
Guillermo.
Whose husband, an engineer, was seized by the gang, and she was addressing the gang leader. I request an exchange.
Has Miguel listened to our show?
I hope not.
Because if Miguel has listened to our show, he will not talk to you ever again.
I request an exchange. I want him safe and sound.
I'm here to exchange this mother.
You said Miguel, and I straightened up. I don't do the accent now. I'd like to exchange this mother. I just caught that. In another video, residents of San Miguel Totolapan.
Speaking of Miguel.
Carrying guns explained that they have suffered for far too long from the violence and intimidation meted out by El Tequilario and his gang. Tequilario and his gang.
Taco Tortilla.
Taco Bell and his gang.
That was racist.
What? Which is feared for carrying out mass
kidnapping. I'd say I had a problem with it. I just said.
They have humiliated us. They have killed our families. And we won't let it happen again. They are taking a stand.
They said,
no. They've had enough. At the end of November, police used helicopters to search the mountainous area in Guerrero State, where he was believed to be hiding.
It's Guerrero, yes.
But failed to catch him. The governor of Guerrero State, Hector Astudillo, said
the
more
L's are always silent, I believe. Why don't you ask Miguel? Why don't you ask him to listen to the show and see?
Said more than, the L's are silent. Why don't you shut the hey up? I'm just kidding.
Oh, you just blew through the levels on that one. It's a family show.
I'll cut it. But I'm keeping it for the real. He said the villagers have released five of the people they were holding, but that El Tequilario's mother was not among them. So they let the rest of the gang's family go, but they hung on to his mother.
We got your mother.
Your mama is right here. Guerrero state officials said that a team had been sent to negotiate between the vigilantes.
What? Say that again. What?
The vigilantes and the gang.
The vigilantes.
The goal of the team is to ensure that no injury is done to the missing person, nor to the mother of the head of the Tequilaria's gang, who has apparently been taken by the self-defense forces. So, They said, you kidnapped my husband? Guess what, buddy?
We got your mama.
We got your mama right here.
Your mama. Teacher arrested on drug crime.
Yeah.
Is surprised to find out she couldn't take pot to jail.
What?
Yeah.
She's like,
so
all right.
You've charged me. I mean, I get to keep it, right?
You mind if I take this with me?
I mean, I could take it because mine.
I got a feeling I'm going to be bored.
The Mikadori. It's actually Mikadori.
That is.
High school English teacher was arrested on felony drug charge, tried to tamper with the evidence, and was surprised when she couldn't take her marijuana with her into the Birmingham City Jail, according to police.
Oh, it's from Birmingham.
Possibly.
Yeah.
How do we know it's not Birmingham, England?
It's not.
Okay, can I just continue?
Mikadori High School is in Birmingham, Alabama.
That's a fantastic story. Can I read it now? Leah, you're right. You okay? Leah McAmy Sellers, let's just call her Leah Sellers.
Okay.
28, knows enough, she should know better, was taken into custody by Birmingham police on December 10th, court records show. She's facing one felony charge and two misdemeanors. A police report says she was also involved in a hit and run prior to the, good Lord, this girl's been
busy. I'm telling
you. But the court records don't reflect any charges yet in that case, the hit and run. Her attorney told AL.com, okay, fine, Alabama.
That's a good website.
They're investigating the possibility that Sellers was unknowingly drugged.
Oh, sure. Her attorney's saying that somebody drugged her.
I was unknowingly drugged once.
Somebody put pot smoke in her lungs.
Just after 9 p.m. Just after 9 p.m. on Saturday, a Birmingham police officer was patrolling the city's south side and saw two vehicles stopped.
That's peculiar, he said.
When he got to the scene, a woman told Officer Sellers, was he buying or selling? Told the officer Sellers, not Officer Sellers.
No.
That Sellers had just rear-ended her vehicle and then said she saw Sellers laugh. Ha ha!
And
smoke something. According to Birmingham police report, the officer spoke with Sellers, who told him she drank a few beers. He put her in the back of his patrol car pending further investigation. The police report said Sellers was very unsteady on her feet and stumbled.
Whoops.
Police approached Sellers' Toyota RAV. Isn't that RAV4?
It is RAV4, yeah.
And reported a strong odor of marijuana.
You smell that?
Yeah, it smells like marijuana. They looked inside the SUV and saw several pill bottles plain view.
So she's been drinking beer.
Not in some kind of a fancy view.
No.
They were in just a plain view.
All right, she smoked something. She's got open containers,
yeah,
and pill bottles.
Pill bottles, which that prescription thing right there is going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Some of them with worn labels bearing Seller's name. That's the bottles of pills. They also saw a glass pipe.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, she just likes the finer things. a glass pipe in the center sunglass holder, which was warm to the touch and also smelled. Oh, there's a big surprise there, officers. Smelled of marijuana, according to the report. There was a second glass pipe
in
the passenger side door and a clear plastic bag with what appeared to be marijuana inside. Huh. Also in the vehicle was a large, clear plastic bag that contained 8 individually wrapped smaller baggies containing
a
green leafy substance, could have been oregano, that looked and smelled like pot. A female officer was – I want to do this. A female officer – this is like so exhausting – was summoned to the scene to search Sellers.
Hey,
and
that's like a tongue twister.
Yeah, she was summoned to the scene to search Sellers. Summoned to the scene to search – I can't do it. And narcotics investigators also responded. Sellers was handcuffed with her hands behind her back. Thanks, we needed to know that.
No, we did because of the upcoming line.
Okay, but police said – how would you know that? You've been reading ahead?
I did read this one.
Okay, but police then noticed she had somehow moved the handcuffs to the front.
Poof.
She's a magician. She's a magician, yeah. She was trying to reach through the sliding window that separates the front and back seats of the patrol car, turning the page, in attempt to tamper/destroy/conceal the evidence.
I think she was tempted to eat it is what she was going to do.
The individually wrapped marijuana bags that had been put in the front seat of the patrol car, records claim. The officer found that one of the pipes he had retrieved from Sellers' SUV was now in the back seat of the police. These guys are top notch. And said Sellers was trying to hide it under her foot.
Fearless.
A short time later, the report states police learned Sellers' vehicle had been involved in an earlier hit and run. Once officers cleared up that scene, Sellers requested to be taken to UAB Hospital and asked to see a doctor, but wouldn't tell police why she felt the need to see medical
University
attention.
Alabama Birmingham.
Thank you.
Yeah.
After waiting several hours,
my nephew
at University of Alabama Birmingham.
My nephew went there
to see. We don't care to see a doctor. The defendant only wanted to talk about her case with the doctor. The officer wrote in his report, the doctor made several attempts to discuss medical matters, but the defendant would only ask him to get me to release her.
Hey, doc, I feel so much better. Can I just leave?
Yeah, you go. Can you release me now?
These doctors are saying they caught me.
I feel much better after taking that non-prescription drug that I had. After leaving the hospital, Sellers was taken to Birmingham City Jail. As I was gathering the defendant's personal items and securing the evidence, the defendant boastfully stated, "It, marijuana, should be an ounce."
If it's less than that.
The officer wrote, after securing it in order to enter the jail, the defendant was appalled that I was not bringing it to the jail with us. Sellers is charged with first-degree possession of marijuana, not for personal use, which
hey,
is a
mine.
Felony. They're getting it for selling it. She's also charged with the misdemeanors of tampering with the evidence and possession of drug paraphernalia.
Well, they should know that she was selling it. I mean, her last name is
Sellers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Throw her under the jail.
Yeah.
The old Stony Lonesome.
Big House.
the slammer.
She was booked into Jefferson County Jail
on
Sunday
pokey.
Morning and later released after posting $15,600 bond.
The old Gray Bar Motel.
So, what is she posted on, like, a website? Because this crime thing I've been overlooking for a long time. If I just post some money out there, efforts to reach school and Jefferson County Board of Education officials for comment weren't immediately successful.
Huh.
Wait, did I miss something?
Nah.
What does that have to do with schools?
She was a teacher.
Oh, she was a teacher.
Yeah.
That's right. See, I've already forgotten. That's how bored I was with the story.
It showed two pictures on the website. It showed her school annual picture where she's all smiles and cutesy, and then her mugshot where she's
looks like just she's been.
What is going on?
The last line, the last paragraph here, though, we're going to ask the public not to rush to judgment on the case.
No, that's what her attorneys
please
are saying.
Do not
please
rush to judgment. We're investigating the possibility that she was drugged in the night. I'm going to try that again. You ready?
I just think it's funny that that's her defense.
Yeah.
Somebody put marijuana smoke
in
her.
And I'm going to pretend she's got someone that sounds this halfway intelligent, right? We're going to ask the public not to rush to judgment on the case. We're investigating the possibility she was drugged in the night in question. This is a great teacher who is well-respected by her co-employees and the administration.
Very good. That sounded more like Birmingham, England Alabama.
I do aim to please.
So you aim too, please.
I've never aimed to please.
A bloody fool. If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.